So is a joy-filled life possible for even an Eeyore? Are some people just born happy? We're going to talk about it this morning with author Marcus Warner. He and Chris Corsi have put together the book, The Four Habits of Joy-Filled People, 15-minute brain science hacks to a more connected and satisfying life. And Dr. Warner has served as the president of Deeper Walk International since 2016. And good morning, Marcus.
Hey, good morning. Good to be with you, Deb.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, Marcus. Appreciate that. Well, let's just start off there and just kind of define joy and why it's important for us.
Sure. Well, you know, joy is the fuel on which the brain wants to run. And what science has learned through the years is that your brain's only going to run on either joy or fear.
Mm-hmm.
And so if it can't find joy, we're going to run on fear. Mm. And let's face it, nobody ever went to their psychologist and said, you know, my problem is I just have too much joy.
Mm-hmm. So, right. Yeah, exactly.
That's really good. So can you tell us what is the difference between, you say, a joy house and a fear house? What would be the difference between living in either of those homes?
So the idea is in my inner world, I build a house where I stay, and it's either a fear house or a joy house. If it's a fear house, then I tend to avoid wanting to be quiet with myself. I tend to want to be distracted. I want to, you know, keep music on, keep the entertainment going, keep, you know, myself busy. I don't want to be alone with myself and my thoughts because my inner world is not a fun place to be. That would be a fear house.
Mm-hmm.
And when I have a fear house, then what happens is I tend to fear map my world. And I see only the things, because my brain is a natural amplifier. What that means, it will focus on and make bigger what it is trained to focus on and make bigger. And so if I train my brain to focus on and make bigger everything there is in life to be afraid of, I'm going to be consumed with fear. So I have to, and as Christians we get this, we have to train our brains to focus on what there is to be grateful for and what there is to appreciate in life. Because there's always going to be problems, but if we can train our brains to focus on what there is that brings joy, then we can build a joy house, and it becomes a much quieter place inside and a place where we don't mind being alone with our thoughts.
Yeah. So, Marcus, when we talk about fear, oftentimes I find myself being fearful because I'm unaware of what's going to happen, or I put my, you know, I don't understand something, so I'm fearful of it. I mean, would you say that that's an accurate description of why we get fearful?
Yeah, there's two words here probably to understand. One is anxiety and one is fear.
Okay.
Anxiety is always based on my imagination,
mm-hmm.
and that is based on what I can imagine happening in the future, I will feel fear. So that's what we mean by anxiety. And I don't mean to diminish it by calling it an imagination. I mean, we all have this what-if. What if this mm-hmm. happens? What if that
right.
happens?
Yep.
Right? And so, but that's technically anxiety. Fear is a reactionary state. And so, for example, if you you know, you get a phone call, you look down the phone, there's some names you see on there, and you go, oh, it's them, and you get happy. And there's other names you see, and you go, oh, it's them. And you you have this involuntary, instinctive reaction that is actually, I'm actually a little afraid to talk to them.
Mm.
Not because you think they're going to hurt you, but because you don't expect there to be much joy in this conversation.
Mm.
Oh, that's really true.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So the subtitle of your book is 15-Minute Brain Science Hacks. So can we rewire our brain if it has a tendency toward the fear side? Can we rewire our brain? And if so, how do we do it?
Yeah, it is. That's the good news of the book, right? And so my co-author, Chris, his wife, Jen, when they first met, she was on federal disability for depression and anxiety. And a good day for her was getting out of bed.
Mm.
And they met, and he was working with our friend, Dr. Jim Wilder, to take the latest neuroscience research and turn it into practical exercises that people can use. Well, today, his wife is a joy trainer. I mean, if you knew her today, you would never dream that this was ever a part of her,
wow.
her past or her history.
Wow,
and so
amazing.
When you look at this, you say, is it possible? Yes. I mean, we, you know, that's what got her whole world turned around. And when you combine the best, you know, Christianity and our identity in Christ and our intimacy with God and, you know, appreciation with him, with what brain science is offering, then what happens is that we find that there are actually concrete habits that are proven effective in helping us transform the way that our brain works. And that's what the book is about. So
yeah.
I can explain the four habits now, or we can touch on it in a minute.
That was my next question, is having you talk about what are those four habits you're talking about.
So because we're talking about a joy house, we use the word casa, right, Spanish word for house, to remember the four habits. And the first, the C, is calming. And, you know, there's these popular posters, you know, just stay calm and carry on, or, you know, stay calm and pray or whatever. But we all know that it's actually a little bit more difficult than just say, would you please stay calm? Because as soon as I try to stay calm, I actually get more agitated. So we have four practices that we explain in the book. We call best practices of how to quiet your body. Because the idea behind calming is that when I feel a big emotion, it agitates my body, it affects my body, and what I really need to do is calm my body and not just calm my emotions. So we talk about some steps and practices for doing that, some exercises for practicing that. The A is appreciation. And the idea behind appreciation is they actually did a study at Indiana University where they took people who were in therapy for anxiety and depression, and they added to their current therapies, one control group was asked to do a half hour of appreciation a day. They would write a letter to someone they knew, just expressing nothing but gratitude. And we always tell people, whenever you're expressing appreciation, there's one forbidden word, and that's but. You can't say, I'm grateful for this, but. They would take a half an hour of their day just to be in a place of appreciation. And what they found is within 30 days, there was a noticeable difference between the two groups. And what we found is that appreciation is actually the fastest way to grow what's called the joy center of the brain. It's the located behind your right eye. It's part of your brain that grows with the experience of relational joy. So calming and appreciation, what they do is they lay a foundation for our joy house. If I can quiet, that's actually the number one predictor of stable emotional health, the ability to quiet from upsetting emotions. If I practice appreciation, that's the fastest way to grow joy in my life. And the next two are storytelling and attacking toxic thinking. And both of those have to do with my thought life. Too often, when it comes to storytelling, we tell people stories about our emotions that end in defeat. Or we say something like, you know, this bad thing happened to me, and it gave me these bad emotions, and that's why I'm stuck the way I am. And that's end of story. And we tell ourselves that over and over and over again, and it kind of becomes our story. Part of what we need to do is learn how to tell stories to other people of how we were able to remain relational in the middle of our upset emotions, or how we were able to act like ourselves anyway, or that's how we were able to recover. You know, we need to learn how to tell a good joy story that includes dealing with difficult emotions but not ending there. And then finally, attacking toxic thinking. As you know, that's, we all deal with that. We get these thoughts that come in our head, and they try to shame us that we aren't good enough Christians, or they try to, you know, we beat ourselves up, we don't show ourselves grace. So we have, again, for every one of these habits, Chris and I have developed a series of exercises to help people begin establishing those. And are encouraging people to take a 28-day challenge and see if they can go to fourhabits.org and get a free calendar there with these 28 habit days of exercises on them, and see if they aren't experiencing more joy at the end of the month.
That's great.
Yeah.
So you talked about calming at the very beginning. So give us an example of what a calming exercise would be. What would you take people through?
Okay, so let's say that I'm agitated and I'm anxious. So one of the things we would do is say, exaggerate that emotion a little bit. Instead of just trying to calm down, actually exaggerate it. So an exercise is like, you know, doing exercises on the piano. Sometimes they're not as pretty as the as the final piece, but they're important to do, like scales and things. So this exercise has you imitating a little like a baby whose eyes get big, they throw their hands up over their face, they gasp, and you go, ah, you know, and you make it big, and then you soothe yourself and you take a deep breath, right? You bring your hands down, you maybe rub your arms down, your hands down your arm as if you're rubbing that stress right out of your body. And you'll repeat that two or three times, and what happens is you're again sending signals to your body that it's okay to quiet, it's okay to calm down. Now, you don't have to do that every time you want to, but it's an exercise, right? It's something that you're doing to train your body that this is possible. So that's one example.
Mm-hmm. Mm, that's good. Mm-hmm. Appreciate that. So talk to that person that is, you know, today just, I mean, they're just overwhelmed. They just are stressed out, or they've got so much going on in their life that they don't seem to be able to find any joy whatsoever. Walk them through something that can get encourage them today, would you, Marcus?
Sure. Well, we all have what's called a window of tolerance, or a window of emotional capacity. And if I live my whole life right on the edge of my capacity, I'm going to be tired. I'm going to be anxious. I'm going to be easily angry. I'm going to turn to addictions to try to soothe myself and calm myself. And then I get in this whole cycle. So part of what we need to do is we do need to offload some things. We're looking at what can I say no to in my life? What can I do to give myself a little bit of margin? And then what can I do to practice 5 minutes of appreciation twice a day? And what we found is I don't have to like just be happy all the time. That's not what we're talking about.
No.
My brain needs to learn that it can get back to a place of peace and joy from my upsetting emotions. And so we do that by 5 minutes at a time of appreciation. Now, that's harder than it sounds like, especially for people who are in high depression or high anxiety. But what we try to do is quiet ourselves and think about, you know, maybe some happy memories that make you smile, that you love sharing these stories when you're with people that you love. Hmm. And start collecting those stories and give them names and start making a catalog of happy stories. You know, some people do this on their phone. They have like pictures of their favorite place on the water, or their favorite place in the mountains, right? They're kind of it's a good idea. And what you find is that most of us practice appreciation for about 5 seconds and then we move on.
Right.
It's like, oh, isn't that pretty? Oh, what a pretty sunset, you know, and then we move on.
Right.
Or, oh, yeah, I remember doing that. That was fun. And we move on. So what we're talking about is giving yourself 5 minutes to just stay in that place and enjoy it and let your body kind of rest in that. Mm-hmm. So if you do that 5 minutes a day for 30 days, your brain chemistry will begin to change.
Hmm.
And if you can do that over 60 to 90 days, it'll become a habit.
Hmm. I love that.
That is really good. So, Marcus, here in our community, we've just had a really traumatic thing happen. In Davenport, there was an apartment building that just collapsed suddenly. And, you know, there's a lot of people that have been displaced. And, you know, our hearts just go out to them. So how do you help people through trauma with these exercises? Or can you, or is that a whole different thing?
No, they definitely go together. So what happens is when we go through trauma, one of the things that happens is that it pushes us past our capacity, right? We just go way past what my emotional capacity is. In fact, a hero is really somebody who just acts like themselves in the midst of trauma. You know, when you say, what is a hero? They don't see themselves as doing something incredible. They see themselves as, I just did what anybody would do, or I just did, you know, what my job was. And those, but they were able to be themselves and function in the midst of a lot of pain. For most of us, when we get overwhelmed by these things, what happens is there is trauma recovery that needs to happen. There are a lot of elements of trauma recovery. But one of those elements is 5 minutes of quiet and appreciation, you know, a couple of times a day. And to do it in a group is even better, when I can share that with other people. Because if I share my story with you and you share joy with me, then that's kind of what gives us the strength to get through all the hard stuff. Mm. Kind of like being at a funeral and you're with friends and family that you love. Mm. And even though it's a hard time and everybody's sad, there's a certain joy that gets us through that, of being with all these other people that we love. Mm-hmm. And so the more that I can practice these quieting and joy skills, and the more that I can share them with other people, the more capacity it's going to give me to go through all of the hard things in life.
Mm-hmm. That's really good. Yep. Visiting today with Dr. Marcus Warner, and he has co-written the book, The 4 Habits of Joy-Filled People. And Marcus, good stuff. Really appreciate your wisdom. And I know it's going to help a lot of people, and I appreciate you. And of course, if you want to get the book, you can go to moodybooks.org and you can find it there. It's called The 4 Habits of Joy-Filled People. Marcus, thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate being with you. Thank you.
You're welcome.